independent in thought and punk rock in life. It's the Chad Benson Show.
What it means is that Mueller has found something that he thinks justifies a grand jury authorizing a subpoena that they hope will be issued by the grand jury, but we really don't know exactly what topic they might be addressing.
You know what's better than a grand jury? Grand Funk Railroad, because they're an American band. Just wanted to let you know that. So Mueller is looking at a grand jury for financial crimes. You don't bring that many people into a group and say, look, you guys are the best at what you do. Go find some dirt and not find some dirt. They think they found some dirt. But is it the dirt that everybody else wants to find? Right? Is it the dirt that everybody else thinks, oh, this is it. We got him. No, I don't think it is. I think it's a subpoena. They can look at some stuff. Yeah, it is what it is. I was telling producer Phil before the show started, I'll be honest with you, I'm fine with, you know, a special prosecutor. I wasn't fine with Bob Mueller. I think the more that I read, and I've read a lot, it's just, if you were to help your best friend out, you were going to do some investigating for your best friend, if you will, or a good friend on somebody, you're probably going to err on the side of your friend. That's just the way it is. Now, I think there's integrity, and I think that he's a good guy, and even the Republicans, most of them, to a man and woman, have said that they trust him. I don't think they're going to find anything. I don't think they have found anything when it comes to collusion, and that's really what this is all about, right? Could they have found some financial misgivings or misdoings or some stuff along the way that maybe could raise a few eyebrows when it comes to stuff? That is possible. But are they going to find any collusion? But if I'm the president, let's just get on with it. Let's get over it. Let's rock and roll and get this thing done so I can get on with what I need to get on with.
In the grand jury room, Mueller and his representatives are essentially making a pitch to the grand juror saying, okay, here's what we found. We would like you to vote to authorize a subpoena for particular documents for a particular person to testify.
He said subpoena. Yeah. Ugh. And yet, I will go home today, as will you, and the people who are excited about this, the Daily Kos readers, you know who you are, Huffington Post readers, yes, yes, I'm looking at you, the New York Times readers, the WaPo readers, the CNN, MSNBC people, you too will go home tonight, and all of us will go to our mailbox, and we will walk down to our mailbox, as will my man, Producer Phil, out there. Producer Phil, when you go to your mailbox, do you expect to find some sort of trophy and or letter of commendation or something about Russia?
No, I'm lucky if I find Publisher's Clearinghouse.
There you go. And he's trying for Publisher's Clearinghouse because I want $25,000 a week for life. Who doesn't? That's what we should all get. That's how exciting this is supposed to be. It means nothing. It doesn't. In the overall scheme of things, it means nothing. I read a great article today in the New York Times. I know there are still some people in the New York Times who write about stuff that's actually pretty good, and it's non-political, which is what I think is good. But I read an article today talking about the fact that the economy and the stock market are booming despite all of the noise. And I said, winning will cure all ills. And they talked to one of the big CEOs who's just raking it in. And he said, look, man, nobody I know cares about Russia. It means nothing. I don't care who talked to who about what. It means nothing. And that's exactly what it is. The problem is he's going on a little vacay. As he goes on vacation, this does not feel good to start your vacation with news like this. Just because you're reactionary, and this is where you need to take a deep breath and you need to lean on the people that are around you. Once again, legal expert Royal Oaks. That's his name. Somebody said you're going to be called Royal Oaks, which is one of my favorite drinks.
The Trump administration can only take from this that it's not good news because it doesn't seem like Mueller is winding down the investigation.
No. But I have a feeling he's gone down a lot of rabbit holes looking for that part, looking for that thing, looking for that one thing that is going to change it all, looking for that something that is going to dazzle the world, and it's going to, it's not happening. It's not happening. There is no there, I think, as far as collusion goes. And that's really what this is about. Let's not pretend. And I don't want to get too far off of this because I don't care about this stuff. I don't. And I think most of you don't either. There was so much more news that, like today, and we're going to talk about Michelle Carter, who was found guilty in June of texting on numerous occasions to her then boyfriend. She was sentenced today, and we're going to talk about that. I found that more interesting. That's more relevant because most of us have said things in text or done things and or have kids who have done stuff and what the implication means going forward than stuff like this. Because there's no relevance for you or I. You care about getting your kids to school on time. You care about making sure the bills are paid. You care about the fact that you're starting back in school here in the next couple weeks because you want to improve your life. So you're deciding, hey, I'm going to go back to school and get an advanced degree of some way, shape, or form. You're thinking about those kind of things. You're thinking about starting a business. You're thinking about stuff like that. Never once does a Russian cross your mind. Like Boris and Natasha were the last Russians that you cared about. Or maybe that show, The Americans. Outside of that, you don't care. You just don't. Because it's not that important. But Trump, his reaction, I want to see how it is. You've got a guy now in place who is, I think, going to be a steadying influence inside of that White House. And I think Trump is going to go on vacation. And don't be surprised when you come back, when he comes back, that you find there is a guy who has renewed vigor and understands that, you know what, I'm throwing away a lot of this other stuff and I'm going to hyper focus on the things I need to do and I'm going to start celebrating my victories and we're going to get out in front of it all and we're going to put this thing to rest and we're going to move on and let the witch hunt be what it is. But the more victories that come in, the more things that I get done. And that includes a chance to make sure that this Senate gets in there in a bipartisan way and gets health care done, and it looks healthy, it looks like better care, it stops being a law and starts being the thing it's supposed to do, and I start working on trade deals, I get immigration sorted out, or at least pushing, I get taxes done by the end of the year. When you start doing that and you celebrate those victories, all this other stuff, and you could chalk it up. Well, they said that my son did this wrong. There's all these convoluted rules or whatever. You can come up with that thing and you just move on with your life. It's the best thing that you can do. All the other stuff is noise. All the other stuff is just, that's what I find it. It's just noise that takes away from a lot of this. And I'm no Trump sycophant. I'm no Trump follower. I want my president to do well. But I find stuff like this takes away. He already takes away enough time and sucks enough oxygen out of the room when he comes in and does some of the things he does. Now, right now, I think it's time to reboot. Let's start over. Let's start fresh and new. You got through the first 6 months. It has been a choppy ride at times, but it doesn't mean that you can't right the ship sooner rather than later and have people look back in 6 months and go, wow, he got immigration set on a path. He got health care sorted out. He got, he started reducing regulations. He fixed the tax system and made it simpler. He did a lot of things. And you look back and you go, wow, he got a lot of stuff done. That's getting stuff did. That's what it's all about. Getting stuff did. Happy Thursday. Hope you're doing well. Today is Thursday. Let's see here. Thursday the, would that be the 3rd of August? Producer Phil, tonight there is an event going on between a team from Dallas and a team from Arizona. What would that be exactly?
Preseason football.
Preseason football. Football is just wonderful. And again, I do have some issues because I love the game, but there are some, I'm conflicted, if you will. But tonight's one of those nights where you can actually watch a football game and by and large think nobody's getting hurt because this first preseason game's like two-hand touch, right? It's like a two-hand touch. But I'm excited, right? Because there's football season and waiting for football season where we don't have to wait anymore. And football is just, it's good. I'm excited. And happy birthday to the GOAT. For those of you who don't know what GOAT is, it's greatest of all time. Yes, Tom Brady is. It is his 40th birthday. He is dazzling. You know my bromance and love of the Brady. Turning 40 today and showing no signs of slowing down. I believe the evil empire that is the Patriots, who I love dearly, are going to be locked and loaded and ready to go this year for another run at the Super Bowl. Could this be number 6 for Mr. Brady? I think so. Text the program 323-538-2423, 323-538-2423. At Chad Benson is the Twitter. We have got your urban word of the day. We're going to talk about the Michelle Carter case. Where the NAACP does not want you to travel, which is odd because I was there recently. And how much money will Floyd Mayweather get? He's saying what he thinks he's going to get. And I'm saying, what? Chad Benson Show.
Irreverent? Yeah. So what? It's the Chad Benson Show.
This is an amazing moment. That you think only people from Great Britain or Australia would speak English is so insulting to millions of hardworking immigrants who do speak English from all over the world.
That right there, Stephen Miller and Jim Acosta yesterday, who got into a little skirmish talking about the immigration. The new RAISE Act, this would curb legal immigration kind of as a merit-based thing. And English is one of the things that people were talking about yesterday because that's one of the things they want you to do is they want you to speak English. And Jim Acosta, who is a reporter, look, it's good to ask questions because you're trying to get things out. But he became somebody who went after, you know, policy advisor Stephen Miller. And really, just kind of stopped being a reporter and was more of a person that was going to prove a point. They continue.
I am shocked at your statement that you think that only people from Great Britain and Australia would know English. It reveals your cosmopolitan bias to a shocking degree.
Shocking degree, Jim Acosta. Just report. Some of the who, the what, the when, the where, the why, the... That's it. Give me the facts. I don't need feelings. I don't need you to argue with anybody. And let's be real, the Trump administration, they argue enough. And they can be, as we know, a little short in the fuse area. But you don't need to sit there and the way that you... It's amazing. And you're not an investigative reporter. You're a White House reporter. Ask some questions. File your piece. Let everybody decide. Is that wrong? Am I wrong there? Are you an investigator, journalist? And we all know that this thing, this RAISE Act, the chances of it getting done are slim to none. But still, just do your gig. Show up. Ask some questions. You're not digging. You're not part of the investigation into Russia. You know, why? Yeah. Why is it English? Let people go. Then file your report. Let everybody else decide how they feel about something. Just the facts, man. That's what we want. But they got into it.
I named the studies.
I asked you for a statistic. Can you tell me how many...
We'll make a carve-out in the bill that says the New York Times can hire all the low-skilled, less-paid workers they want from other countries and see how you feel then about low-wage substitution.
Ooh. Well. Poll, should English be mandatory on Twitter and Facebook? Check it out, at Chad Benson Show, ChadBenson, simple and easy as that. You can tweet at us. You can text the program, 323-538-2423. As we do every day at this time, we give you some street cred that you may be lacking. We help you out with the lingo of the youth of today. We call it our urban word of the day.
It's time for the urban word of the day, fam.
What? Right now?
Time to get a little more hip on the streets.
I can't understand a word you're saying.
Urban word of the day.
So yesterday was WYPIPO. That was slang and short on Twitter and other places for white people. Today, OOTD. OOTD. Outfit of the day. Right? So that's it. What's your outfit today? I don't know what my outfit is. It's usually shorts and a t-shirt. I look good, though, right? I think so. I mean, I look, you know, about a six. I'm a solid six. What's your outfit of the day today, Producer Phil? What are you wearing?
Polo shirt and some jeans.
Nice. Throwing down deep. Look at that. Looking sharp, people. That's your urban word of the day.
Thank you for saying that in dated urban slang so that I'll understand you.
That there was the urban word of the day. We damn stretched your cranium.
Stretch it. We do. We want to stretch it. We want to elongate it. We want to make you feel better about who you are. People texting in about, you know, should English be mandatory? I'm not saying you have to come here with fluent English, right? I'm not saying that. But I'm saying you should have some grasp upon the language. It makes your life that much easier, doesn't it? I would think so. I mean, if I would love to you know, to go automatically and say, oh, you know what? You can come here. And in 6 months, you'll have a grasp of English. No, I want you to come here with some grasp of English. And over the next 6 months, you're going to get far more. But you coming here with no English is going to be a struggle. Or you coming here and you speaking English and your family comes and they speak none, it's going to be a struggle. I got zero problems with wanting people who want to come here and immigrate here to have at least a small grasp of the language. They're going to pick the rest up as they go. But you want them to have at least a little bit of that. And it's fine. But that became the issue yesterday. It was about race. Because that's the English is now a racist word. I know. Because English is it's means people of color, I guess. I don't know. Text the program 323-538-2423. 323-538-2423. Chat at ChadBensonShow.com. Like Facebook, Chad Benson Show. Michelle Carter was sentenced today. What does it mean going forward? She, of course, was the lady who...
The Chad Benson Show.
Independent in thoughts and punk rock in life. It's the Chad Benson Show.
We have a very big announcement tonight. I believe I'll be making it in West Virginia, so that'll be very exciting.
Very exciting, West Virginia. Jim Justice, who is the governor there, is a Democrat. Oh, he's a Republican now. He switched teams. He switched teams. Now all that's left in West Virginia on the Democratic side is Joe Manchin. It's not looking good for the Democrats as far as governors goes. What are they down to, like 15, 13, something like that? Not a lot, kids. Not a lot. Not a lot at all. Oh, man. What a day. There's so much stuff going on when it comes to what's taking place in our world of technology, kids, things of that nature. And I will tell you, this Michelle Carter thing, if you don't remember Michelle Carter, she was the young girl who in June was sentenced for the death, or not sentenced, but found guilty for the death of her boyfriend. It was involuntary manslaughter. She got, she got herself into trouble because here's a girl who, once again, when you get these phones, man, you got kids out there, and you yourself, everybody, when you get these things, you realize that their responsibility There is a responsibility with these things. I don't think people realize that sometimes. I don't think we talk about it enough. Yesterday we talked about that girl. We touched on that. Mallory Grossman, who was 12, committed suicide. And she was cyberbullied through text messages and everything else. You get this thing. There is responsibility with this thing. And this girl, Michelle Carter, with her then boyfriend, Conrad Roy III, she did not heed the warnings of many people, right? She didn't. She continued to do, you know, over and over again, pushing him, egging him on to commit suicide, pushing him to commit suicide. And there was times when she looked like she would show some empathy, but then other times she would just say stuff. And like everything else, man, whether it's an email or it's in handwriting, it's out there. And if somebody's got it, you can be in trouble. Well, today she was sentenced to 2.5 years in jail. Now, she's only going to do 15 months or so. And then she's going to be released. Maybe a little bit longer. A lot of people, she faced 20. And a lot of people thought, well, wait a minute here. She faced 20. Why didn't she get 20? You know, it's a new world. It's a new world. We don't know what all this stuff is. We don't know how to approach this thing. Judges and law are coming at things in a much different way because of technology. They're coming at it in a much different way because there are no written rules as of yet to a lot of this stuff. I was talking to Phil earlier. I was talking to somebody who works in law enforcement earlier this week, and I was saying to Phil, you know, law enforcement, when it comes to, like, driverless cars and when it comes to that, there's no laws for it. Because technology, again, is moving so fast. It's how do you keep up with it? It's tough to keep up with. And this is one of those things where it was, you know, I don't know what you say. You got a family here that lost their son. You got a girl here who the law said, hey, you played a part in this. You didn't actually kill him, but you were an influencing factor in him committing suicide. That's a tough thing, man. That's a real tough thing. So what do you do? If you're a judge, do you put her away for 20 years because of text messages? She wasn't there, but she did encourage him. You also can't read the tonality of something like text messages. But this also sets a precedent going forward. And that's kind of scary, too. Because you say something via text message, uh-oh, what's that mean? Can I be in trouble for that? Can I? Is it possible that I can be in trouble for that? I don't know. What could potentially happen in a situation where you sent something to somebody, they did something, and now the police are going, we'd like to have a talk with you because we may charge you with X, Y, or Z. Where does that leave you? These are now going to become legal records? I don't know. But you know, when I said earlier that this case had a bigger implication than the Russia thing, it's because all of us use our phones. All of us are tied to technology. All of us have said something or sent something or done something, and now we've got to be extra careful in the way that we go about doing things. Even something that could be said in jest that if somebody else took seriously, well, it's got to be over and over. Does it? Does it always have to be over and over again? Does it always have to be somebody who's done it for weeks and months? Does it always? There are so many implications to something like this, and that to me is the frightening part. That's why I say, you know, we've talked about it before. Like, what's a good age to get your kid a phone? And then where's your responsibility with that? Because I think as a parent, giving a child a phone is, you know, this is the world we live in. If we would have had phones in the 70s and 80s like this, we would have our parents probably would have got us phones. But we live in 2017, and this is what has become the norm. So you give a child a phone, what's a good age to give the child a phone? But also, as a parent, you tell them and you express to them, this is vitally important. There's responsibility that comes with this. And not only are you responsible, but I'm going to be responsible. I want to know that you're capable of handling this in a mature way. I want to know that you're going to take this thing and do the right things with it. Texting your friends, playing video games, whatever it is, but not bullying people, not sending pictures or getting pictures you shouldn't be sending or getting. And that's on the parent. That is. And I don't think, you know, 20 years to me I thought was outrageous to say that you give a girl like this 20 years, and I didn't think she was going to get 20. I honestly thought she'd get house arrest, if anything. I honestly thought, well, maybe she'll get some house arrest and she'll have like 400 million hours of community service. I don't know. But I think this was fair. You know, two families here have seen their life turned upside down. But there's a bigger thing at play here, which is, where is our responsibility to our kids to teach them that? Because a lot of people out there, man, they want to become any, you know, any part of this. They want to hand the phone to the kid and say, don't break it and don't look at porn, and then they wander away. Don't send naked pictures. But how much are you're looking at your kid's phone? My mom and I were talking last night because we were talking about that girl that committed suicide and how the family's suing. And she says, you know, I don't know how it could be the school's fault, because we don't want the school in our life, and they leave it like, you know, you go home at 3 in the afternoon and you send a text at 8 o'clock at night that's horrible, or you put something out there. How is that the school's fault? What are they supposed to do? And I said, I don't think it is. I think it's, you know, I think a lot of it's the parents. The parents of the kids are doing that. But parents are blind to it, too. They never want to hear that their kid's done something wrong. They never want to hear that their kid is bad or could potentially do something. My little sister was, and she's a mean girl. I love my little sister, Hunter, but she's one of those kind of mean girl things. But she doesn't hang out in groups. She does her own thing. She's beautiful. She, you know, and it's no longer just the nerd that gets picked on. Right, because that's what it was, right? You know, it was a singular thing where you'd see the nerd, people would make fun of the nerd, or whatever it was, and it was a tough time for them, and they learned to cope with it. Teachers would say, don't do that, and we all kind of moved on with our life. Now, everybody, doesn't matter, you'd be beautiful, and you could still get destroyed. And last year, she had a problem with somebody who attacked her all the time. My mother finally addressed it at school. They did nothing. She addressed it with the parent. And the parents said, no, my kid would never do something like that. The girl actually at one time broke into the house and stole something, a few things from my little sister. My mother took over the video, and the lady still denied it. And you just think to yourself, yeah, it's on the parenting at times, too. There's 1,000 things that go into it. It's not just a singular thing. But this does have influence in our life, and it can do a lot of things. I mean, we saw last week with those guys in Florida who refused to help that guy that finally drowned. They used their phone to do what? To make a video, to make fun of a guy. They could have helped him. She's getting 2 years plus for encouraging those guys watch the guy drowned. And that's how you know that this is still new territory. Very new territory. And there's going to be a lot of implications. And this is not the first one that we've heard of, But this is the biggest one we've heard of that involves an actual conviction of somebody because of text messaging. Where's this going to lead? Because it won't be the last. 844-DIG-CHAT, 844-344-2423. Chat at ChadBensonShow.com. You can text the program, 323-538-2423. It's the Chad Benson Show.
No need to sit there foaming at the mouth. Jump in and get whatever off your chest. Call Chad at 844-344-2423. That's 844-DIG-CHAD. Woo, now doesn't that feel better?
Go, 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 go. Run away from the Sharknado. It's your greatest fo-fo-fo. Don't want to get eaten by Sharknado.
That is awful. Kiss the mermaid. But I love it. Here's the thing, Producer Phil. Wouldn't you? I'd like to be in Sharknado. I got no problem with that. I think it would be great. It's like a dream to be in an awfully awesome movie. I want to write one, produce one, direct one. We should be able to do all of that in 20 minutes. That's the beauty of working for the Sci-Fi Network. You just produce them at a high rate of speed. That's it. No more, no less. I love it. Trump apparently was supposed to be in it, that he wasn't supposed to be in it. Could he have been in it? Maybe he wasn't in it, and he could have. There's all this stuff about it. That would have been great, though. Hey, you know what, Trump? That'll improve your rating, your Q scores, they say in the business. Are you liked or not? That'll do it right there, being a little Sharknado. Sharknado! So, folks, Willie Nelson apparently is not dead, but everybody freaks out every once in a while. And I don't know what, I think people do it for real. Like, usually when I mention somebody at some point in time, sooner rather than later, they pass away. Although I haven't killed Doris Day, even though I said, you know, is that the one that I didn't kill? We talked about? Because I've killed a few, man. I killed the drummer from Asia.
I don't want to talk to you about that.
was just the drummer, right?
It wasn't the drummer. It was John Wetton. He was a bass player.
Yeah. I didn't mean to, but, you know, my powers are awesome. But Willie Nelson, a lot of people were freaking out because they thought Willie was dead.
Woke up still not dead again today. The internet said I had passed away. If I died, I wasn't dead to stay. I woke up still not dead again today. Woke up still not dead again today. The gardener did not find me that way. You can't believe a word that people say.
But, man, I see once a week somebody, I love, this is what happens, and I think everybody knows this, you're on Facebook. You find that somebody posts what? That somebody's died who's been dead for 2 years. Or somebody sees a false thing and they start to put it out there that somebody's died. And you're like, that person's not dead. And Willie Nelson seems to be the new Abe Vigoda, who finally did die. And no, I did not kill him. Did not kill him. But Willie is still alive. Congratulations to Willie. This guy, we'll call him Ozzy Osbourne, is going to perform, I think, in Cartersville on the 21st of August. He's going to perform at 1:21 p.m. It's going to be a big concert because of the eclipse. He's going to, what song do you think, Producer Phil, he would perform during an eclipse?
I'm going to take a shot in the dark here. And no, not shot in the dark. Bark at the Moon.
Bark at the Moon. That's what he's going to do. How cool is that? I love that. They haven't had a full eclipse in that area of the middle sea since like 1442. So this is going to be rocking and rolling for them. And Southwest is actually doing special flights. If you want to see the eclipse, they're going to do, they're running something where you can, you know, I guess you buy a ticket and you go up and you fly around and you get to take a look at the eclipse. I think that's kind of cool. It's going to be pretty awesome. It is. And do you have your glasses, Producer Phil?
I do have my glasses. I did get to see a total eclipse in the 90s.
Oh, really? I saw a total eclipse of the heart. It was so sad. Pat Benatar.
Bonnie Tyler.
Bonnie Tyler. Whatever. They're all the same. They're has-beens. Chad, you're such a jerk. I'm kidding. Speaking of somebody that is not a has-been, His name is Floyd Mayweather. He said today that he expects to make $300 million off the Mayweather-McGregor fight, which I find that to be tough. I mean, he made $250, $260. They're not quite sure off the Pacquiao fight. But he expects to make $300 million off this fight. Now, it's not selling briskly, but it will because it's an event. People like events, and they like to do events at home. And I think a lot of people are very gun-shy to pull the trigger on expensive tickets before they know these guys are getting in the ring. Like, some people are so skeptical, it isn't until the fight's over that they'll believe they have fought. And I understand that. Because let's be real, in this world that we live in with sports athletes, everything's very fragile, and we see too often many of these things are called off. But I think the kind of money that's involved here, plus the age of Mayweather, I don't think that's going to happen. I think you can see a fight. And I can't wait for it, because yes, I will buy it, I will watch it, and I will like it. Or I won't. 844-DIG-CHAT, 844-344-2423, chat at chadbensonshow.com. You can text the program, 323-538-2423. 323-538-2423. It's the Chad Benson Show.
This is the Chad Benson Show.